Grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Comfort and guard your hearts in all that we hear. Today especially we're hearing from Luke chapter 10, how we are not just observers of the road that Jesus is on, but he invites us to go on ahead of him and share the good news. So all this summer we're looking at the Gospel of Luke and how Jesus is on the road towards Jerusalem. And today from Luke 10, we see Jesus identifying 72 that he's going to send out two by two. And he tells them to not carry a money bag, a knapsack, or sandals, that they're going to be lambs in the midst of wolves. Don't greet anyone on the road on the way to the towns you're going. First of all, I have to pause right there. I find that one ironic because later in chapter 10 is the parable of the Good Samaritan, where it is the good neighbor is the one who stops on the road to talk to somebody. But anyways, here in Luke 10, we'll sort that out later, that he says, don't greet anyone on the road. Don't get distracted that your mission is to go out into the world, share the peace, heal the sick, and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. He gives them some instructions on how to do this. When you arrive into a town, he says, go to a house. Enter the house and say, peace be to this house. And if there is a son of peace on that house, it will rest upon him. And in this instruction, we find that they have, in the promise of Jesus Christ, a peace that they are carrying with them. The peace that they are delivering in the towns that they go to is not a reactive peace to what they find in that town. It's a peace they bring into that town. And so, before they enter a house, they don't do an assessment. They don't do a deep dive in their social media posts. They don't, like a bank loan, do a background check and offer a conditional offer depending on the completion of the paperwork. Nope, they arrive and they say peace. Because the peace they share is not a peace that's a transaction on what this person is bringing and what they bring and there's a mutual interest and now we've got peace. But it's a complete gift that these 72 have been given by Christ that they're going out and now sharing with people. And so they bring this peace from Christ, this peace that they have, and when it rests on somebody, that's a joyous thing. They stay in that house. They don't go from house to house and trying to figure out who has the best meal that night and negotiating a bunch of honorariums. Nope, just stay in one house as long as you're in that town. Heal the sick. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. And when you've done that, then go on. But Jesus doesn't tell them only how to share the peace when everything goes right according to plan. But he also gives them instructions on what to do when you extend that peace into the house. And there's not a son of peace in the house. He says that peace will return to you. I find this an interesting phrase, that the peace will return to you. I thought about how when you extend peace to someone and it's rejected, how crushing that can feel. What a sense of paralysis to what we're doing it can bring when we think, did I do something wrong? And we stall on the mission as a sense of self-diagnosis of what did I do wrong? But Jesus says, when you share my peace, and there's not someone of peace there, it will return back to you. Meaning that the peace you are offering in this world will not be stained or stunk up by what others do to it. When you go on to the next town, you're like a new creation. A new day arrives as you enter that new town and you get to share peace with them. You're not sharing a peace that has a bunch of residuals of rejection attached to it. You get to share a new peace every place you go because it's the peace of Christ you share. It's not the peace that comes from being really successful in that previous town. It's the peace that you share that comes from Christ. What this means to me is that when I am rejected and I experience the scorn, I maybe even experience inflammatory words, there's a sense of the cultural norms devolving and the insidious truth that's really existing in this relationship is revealed. And I want to just match their rejection with my own rejection of them. fine. I didn't want you anyways. And there's this sense of like, why was I even talking to you? I knew you were going to fail me. I mean, it's amazing how when we are experiencing rejection, it starts to change us. How it starts to stink up not only what we see, what has happened there, but we carry it with us. But Jesus says, let the peace return back to you so you have the fullness and the completeness of my peace to go on and share with others. Then he goes on to describe when you get to the edge of town and there was no peace in that town, that get to that spot and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. I thought, what a dramatic moment of shade on that town he's throwing. And I thought about, what does it mean to just shake the dust of a town off of your feet before you move on to another town? And as I was trying to imagine what this imagery is like, I thought about when you're walking someplace and someone that was there before you didn't do such a good job cleaning up their dog, and you step in it. And then you don't quite know it, but you realize everywhere you go, you stink. And you're not quite exactly sure why yet. And then you look and you see and you go, ah, I realize why I stink. What do you do at that moment? Do you just continue to carry that stink with you? You wash it off. When we experience the stink of this world, the stains of sin, do you keep it on you? Do you bring that stink everywhere you go? Remember, you're a baptized child of God. You've been washed in the waters of baptism. You've been made clean in the forgiveness of sins. What happens when you are rejected? Do you carry that scorn? Do you carry that shame? Do you carry that stink with you? There is a challenge here to just shake it off, and when you arrive in the next town, to not let any of the residuals of that past change the peace you're offering now. How do we do that? Is with the confidence that every day I'm a forgiven child of God. Every day I've been called by God to greet this world with peace. And this peace I greet the world with is not dependent on what this world is doing to me. It's dependent on what Christ has done for me. That peace which is rooted in Christ is a peace I can stand on wherever I go, no matter how stinky that place may be. But rejection is something I almost feel like each moment of rejection is like a big rock that's put in my backpack that weighs me down. And that each place I go, I feel lower and I feel more beat down. I don't have this confidence to stand tall again. And the demons that wreck our times, they push us down in a way that we start to feel alone and angry and tired. We can become paralyzed with this experience. But Jesus invites them to go two by two to encourage one another and to remind them that when you go on ahead to the towns that you go, you're sharing my peace. You're sharing the healing that I bring with my words. You're sharing that the promise that the kingdom of God has come near. I was preparing this message and thinking about how do we battle rejection. And I found this letter that Martin Luther wrote in 1530 to a man named Jerome Weller. And what I'm going to read is a paraphrase of the letter that John Newness, who is now the president of Concordia University in Bronxville, this is the way he paraphrased it. He said, "Dear Jerome, when despair comes, one, know you are being attacked demonically because you belong to God. The devil doesn't attack those he already owns or controls. Number two, the best defense is to laugh in the devil's face. Why would you argue with a thing that enjoys arguing or twisting the truth? Don't dwell on it. Just laugh mockingly and show him the hand." This is the moment where I recognize that this must be a paraphrase. My wife reminded me that this is definitely a paraphrase because she doesn't expect that Martin Luther said, "Show him the hand." Remember, you are baptized. Tell him to scram, make the sign of the cross, and keep on walking because the devil is already defeated. Number three, beware of being alone, detached from the body of Christ. There is strength in numbers, encouragement in the fellowship. The devil wants to attack us when we are hungry, alone, angry, and tired. And number four, when the devil throws your sins in your face and reminds you that you have a bad past and don't deserve God's love, just say, that's true, and I probably do deserve death and hell, but so what? May I introduce you to my future in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He died for me, and He's given me a forgiveness you wouldn't understand and lives that I might live forever. Yours truly, Martin Luther. As I read that, and I thought about how well that fit with the gospel lesson we have today. Know that you are being attacked demonically. Know that you are lambs in the midst of wolves. Jesus is not naive about this world that He sends us in mission to. He knows that we are lambs in a dangerous world. And how do we do that? Not with our own provisions of our own money bags or knapsacks. We do it with the trust that the Good Shepherd watches and cares for us. The best defense is to laugh in the devil's face, knowing that he's going to argue and twist the truth. What happens when you get to a place and you share peace and it's rejected? Remember you are baptized. Remember the peace that you carry was never dependent on how they reacted to you. Your peace is always dependent on what God has done for you. You can always trust in that peace. Number three, beware being alone and detached from the fellowship. Jesus said, remember, go two by two. The devil wants to attack us. So find encouragement and support in the relationship of those you go with. Do not go into this world alone. Go always with the confidence that God has placed around you a body of Christ, a fellowship of brothers and sisters. And when the devil throws in your face all of your bad past, take all that clings to your feet and shake it off. Why? Because your future is not rooted in the stink and the stain of this world. Your future is rooted in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for you and has forgiven you your sins. There will be those who will not understand it. They will not know that you live forever in Christ, but you share this good news nonetheless. These 72 are not just observers in the mission. Neither are we. We go out into the world and we share the good news. We know that we bring a peace that's rooted in the work and the word of Jesus Christ. We know that we will sadly and frustratingly experience rejection. Take a moment of pause. Examine if it was you. Trust if you shared the word. There is yet sin in this world, and shake it off. And finally, trust. Trust in the promise. I want you to see what happens after they shake the dust off their feet. What do they say? They say, nevertheless, to that town. Nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come near. That's the big task ahead of us. And the only way we can do this is as we go into this world, as we go two by two, we go with the confidence. We share the words, we share the works, we share the promise of the kingdom of God. And there will be those moments when you'll feel weighed down, where you cannot stand tall. Remember, nevertheless, the kingdom of God has come. And trust in that promise. Amen.